Market Watch is proudly brought to you by Top Sport, home of the Top Sport betting multi. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858. Hello, people. Welcome to a special edition of the Market Watch podcast. It's proudly brought to you by topsport.com.au, the home of the best multis. It's round seven of the National Rugby League. It's the weekend after the running of the championships, but I am sure that we will do our level best to find you a winner over the course of this weekend. The usual suspects are in attendance. I'm talking about the number 13 seed up there at Top Sport, Tristan Merlihan. And I'm also talking about Jared Condon from readingtheplay.com.au. So, boys, let's quickly get into it, and then we'll get through this eight games of round seven.
G'day, Jimmy. And I don't even know if we're going to get time for the eight games today, because I think we've got a bit to talk about in advance, because there was just a lot of excitement surrounding lunch bets, which I'll let Jared touch on. But, yes, no, I dropped in the rankings because there was a fair bit of noise coming out of my mouth after the girls were scheduled to go to bed before their first day of school on Sunday evening, when AJ made a break down the field and all of a sudden I had two kids downstairs, which pleased Ash no end. So, no, it was a big weekend, plenty of sport. What about the racing? Prior to Jenny, Jimmy, I'm sure you want to spend a bit of time talking about that, but racing awesome. Footy awesome, and the golf, even though we had a blowout winner in Scotty Scheffler, geez, that was an exciting tournament for a large duration as well. So, yeah, plenty to chat about, and looking forward to getting into
it. Let's start there. What about Pride of Jenny? My goodness, just an amazing race, amazing, you know, sectionals away. It was beautifully ridden, kicked away. I mean, we all expected that what might unfold was what was unfolding, but we didn't expect that she'd end up, I think it's 38 lengths in front. And some of the photos of a Group One Wait for Age, possibly the second best behind the Cox Plate Wait for Age race in Australia each year, and you've got the leader in front by 10, 12 lengths as they come up the rise, and to see that graphic shot that takes it all in with everything else coming around the turn, I mean, it looked like a fastly run maiden, let alone a Wait for Age Group One, and the story behind the owner, the family, his horses, the improvement of that runner. I mean, putting Declan Bates on the map and his career in riding it and just riding it so beautifully as he does. I mean, just absolutely amazing. But, Tristan, I digress, because I think there's a little bit that we do need to talk about with lunch bets over the last weekend. But more so, you've gone to number one in the ranking on this podcast after getting four lunch bets out of four last weekend. But more importantly, gone to number one on the ranking because there wasn't one gif, I don't think, from you all weekend. So clearly the daughters were jumping all over you about what's going on with the Titans, or you're tied up with the Group One races because you left Jimmy well alone.
No, I've always taken note of and I looked at and I took – reflected a little bit and sort of preempting what was going to happen between Desi and Ricky there on Sunday. And I thought, I've got to win graciously here because let's make this become a pattern. Let's wait for Jimmy to chime in. And yeah, soon enough, there was a big fish on the hook later on in the morning. So that was good to see. But I was very impressed by the emoji that Jimmy put together about Pride at Jimmy. Jenny, it would have taken a lot of work. There was a lot of different symbols in different positions, and it was something that I reckon I might send through to Robin's art teacher, because I reckon if she could do something like that, I'd be very impressed. But, yeah,
what was even amazing was that Jimmy's chiming in about Pride at Jenny, and
all right.
I don't think there was even a lunch emoji in there.
No lunch emoji. So if you're enjoying the podcast, half your luck. YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever it is that you get your podcast, leave a review. Make sure you're subscribing, of course. That would be very good. So if you want to go through that, I tell you what, my best bets, I'm absolutely flying. Don't worry, Pride of Jenny, thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, Tristan got the Roosters win, and, Jared, that was painful. So you better give us the update on the charity bank balance, and you might as well update the table, I suppose, on the one bets.
Yeah, I'll let Jared update the table because that's he does that a lot better than I do and can go into a lot more detail. But in terms of the actual charity bank balance, it's up to 8,785. So getting up to a very, very nice figure there. And, yeah, as you say, we got some nice collects with Jimmy on Pride of Jenny at $4.40. You would have liked that top fluck that you turned down the other week, Jimmy, or turned your nose up on. And the Roosters at 255 and the Broncos minus 8.5. So three nice collects there.
We had three nice collects. Now, on the lunch bet table, we had Tristan with a plus four over the weekend, Jimmy with a minus two, Jared with a minus one. So all of a sudden, we now have it's a little bit crammed at the top, and then it's sort of like the Queen Elizabeth Stakes, I think, Tristan. But we've got two runaway leaders, and then the rest just getting around the turn. But yes, Jared at plus four, Tristan at plus three, and there is a little bit of a drop back to Jimmy at minus seven. Very quickly, just on passing on clothing, a Magic Round. Any of our listeners, if you're coming to Brisbane for Magic Round, Friday lunchtime, right in the heart of the city, we're having the Top Sport Market Watch lunch get together to raise money for, all importantly, for passing on clothing. We have Benny Eichen, we have Petro Sivanasiva as our guests. It'll be a great luncheon. It's a great venue. I've been there many times, right on the edge of the city, and then you can get out to Suncorp Stadium for the first game on Friday night. So please have a look at our socials, look at Pass It On Clothing, go via their social pages, our Twitter pages, but you'll find a link. It's already about 40 or 50% sold, and we're still about 5 weeks out from the event. So fantastic, and looks like a great day.
Yeah, I didn't realise I was doing a podcast with Bone Crusher and our Waverley star. But anyway, there you go. So I am. Just on the back of that, before we get into these games themselves, lots of happening around the footy. Some people on other planets, but anyway, one of those things out of that game, like, that's a cracking game of footy, and well done to the Titans. And sorry, Jolt and Joe, but yes, I went against them at the line. But excellent performance. I know we'll get to the game itself and the performance, but I thought it was interesting what followed. So I had Graham Annesley on the radio program yesterday, but it was, you know, coaches going for it in the press conference, everyone having a look at the performance of the referee, recognising that there probably should have been a different way to finish that match, most notably a penalty to the Titans. Referee dropped. But the very public, I won't say it's an assassination, but the very public feedback that the referees get, and I questioned Graham about this yesterday, Tristan, I'm not sure it's good for morale. I can't imagine you getting out there publicly and saying to the traders in front of all the press, listen, my traders haven't had a good week and they're on notice. And you know, I just think you need to be really careful about what you're telling the general public.
I absolutely agree with that. And I think specifically to the Titans and that late penalty, you know, like it's a really tricky one to expect a referee, you know, in the early stages of their career to blow a penalty that they know is going to end that game as well. When it's, you know, like, yep. In hindsight, it's very obvious when you stop it, but there's so many things happening. And for me, obviously being a very big Titans fan in the heat of the moment, I wasn't overly upset about that situation, but I suppose it's the inconsistencies and the mixed messaging and all this that sort of comes through that, you know, to your point, Jimmy, that it's easy to throw the blame on Casey, but geez, there's a lot of other things that go into it. And, you know, you go back a couple of last year where the exact same scenario happened twice where it went against the Titans, and that's probably the frustration from the fans' point of view. So I think all of those things, there's very easy ways to solve it if you want to go down that route. I've got no issue with the referee letting play go on, and, you know, if they want to go back on the next play and have a quick look, but make it consistent. I think that's the thing. But, yeah, you're right. Yeah, especially for a referee early in their career, I certainly think you've got to show them the public support. If it's something that is repeatedly happening, obviously it's a different scenario. But, yeah, I don't agree with that. And I think it took the shine off a really, really high-quality game of football, particularly for the Titans that obviously have been down on confidence and to put in that defensive effort, you know, and obviously Ricky was trying to phrase it in the way he did in terms of they maybe got some advantages by holding the other team down. But I think it just showed a lot from the adversity they sort of fought through, which was, from a fan's point of view, it was great to see. And then we move into next week. You know, there might be a little bit of rivalry in this week as well, Jimmy, Manly against the Titans. So we'll see how that one goes.
Jimmy, it's interesting. I thought your interview with Annesley was excellent. And I thought he made a lot of really good quality points about why he does this briefing. Yep. And, you know, trying to make it far more transparent for the media and for the general public and all of those sorts of things. But I also agree with you totally that I didn't think Casey deserved the criticism. And we could put shutter cam on every time we have Golden Point. And we could have done it the day before in that game in New Zealand. And there are going to be so many instances like that. And for her to have copped a bit of that focus. And yeah, Graham should have just played a straight bat and said, listen, from everything that we saw based on that, you know, Casey was right, play on. The game was decided the way it was, and we all just move on.
Yeah, no, and that's right. So you're not being totally honest, but you're not being, you know, you're not being, I won't say disrespectful to your staff, but dismissive of your staff in a very public forum. Before we get into the games, a bit of breaking news that we had today. James Fisher-Harris is a replacement over there at the Warriors for Adam Fanua-Blake. Will leave the Panthers at the end of the year. Tristan, you're a Panthers man. Obviously, incredible success that he's had there. If you could absolutely line it up and say who would be our best possible replacement for Adam Fanua-Blake, I reckon JFH is absolutely it.
Absolutely. And I think his leadership on and off the field, I think everything, you know, he's done for that club and the growth, and he just a brilliant signing for the Warriors. I think he's going to fit in fantastically. I would probably put him above Fanua-Blake in terms of that sense. You know, I'd be very, very excited if I was a Warriors fan knowing that I've got him coming over. Very, very keen to get over there as well is the key point. So I'd be very, very excited if I was a Warriors fan. As a Panthers fan, obviously disappointed that he's leaving, but I think if someone wants to go home and it's genuine and you've put that much hard work in, I think the way they resolved it from what it would appear very, very quickly, gives them time to potentially move on other targets. That you know, it shows the respect that someone warrants that's been at that club and done so much for that club over a long period of time. So I think it was done well by all parties, and you know, it'll give Penrith a bit of extra motivation to go on and win this competition again this year with no Luai and no Fisher-Harris next year.
Well, and I think 10 out of 10 to the Panthers, because at my understanding is he's only requested this release in the last week based on significant compassionate grounds. He still had another 2 years to go on his contract. So, you know, the Panthers have then supported that request, released him, and my goodness, you know, what a get for the Warriors. I mean, the guy's a current Golden Boot player of the world. You know, been an absolute ornament for the game and for Penrith. And I thought some of the things that Ivan Cleary said in their press release were so apt, and you know, fantastic get for them. You know, he's been fantastic for the Panthers, and you know, what a good quality club that there's not been one iota of a leak. You know, no gossip anywhere, and then it's been handled so professionally by both clubs, and it's good to see.
Yeah, might send a little test message to Andrew Webster, say, hey, stop stealing our players. But anyway, what goes around comes around, I suppose, from that point of view. All right, let's get into it, boys. Round 7 of the National Rugby League starts with a beauty on Thursday night at Allianz Stadium. This is the Roosters up against the Storm. Tedesco is back. Joey Manu's going to go to the centres before he goes to Japanese rugby. I love the fact that Joseph Okuso-Swalehi was on the wing and the right wing. Luke Keary at halfback. Sam Walker named on an extended bench, but now he's out of that. Satili Tupanua is out with a head knock too. Egan Butcher is a fair replacement. Speaking of fair replacements, the Storm will have Nelson Asifa Solomona playing his first game of the season after Tui Kamikamitha picked up a calf injury. Joe Chan is back into the side. Tepe Mororoa is out. This is a very tough one to split, I would imagine, Tristan.
Very tough one to split, and what a start we got to the week. I'm very excited for it. You got the Roosters who bounce back well again with a win against the Knights. Obviously, massive up in class here, but get the game at home. And then the Storm, they'd be really disappointed, I suppose, with their effort against the Bulldogs, despite still getting the 2 points. They only just snuck over the line there, and they conceded tries when the Bulldogs are down to 12 men. So the market's been an interesting one. We opened it with the Roosters slight favourites, $1.84, the Roosters 195, sorry, the Storm 195, and now we've got a move where the Storm are now slight favourites, 188, the Chooks are 192, 39.5 the total points. So low expected score and tight game expected, and yeah, I can't wait for this.
Yeah, gee, it's a really tricky game to line up, isn't it? I mean, the Storm have won, I think, 8 of their last 9 against the Roosters, including wins in Sydney. I'm just not so sure about how well the Storm are going, though. I mean, they won by 2 last start against the Bulldogs. Bulldogs were absolutely outstanding, I thought. Possibly one of their best offerings for the last couple of years, and by all rights, could well have hung on for a win. You know, their win prior to that against a depleted Broncos was only by 2 points. We go back to their win prior to that at home was against the Warriors, where the Warriors were enormous and Storm got home by four. I mean, I'm finding it a little bit difficult to read into this. Are the Storm going so strongly that they're good enough to keep winning, or is that papering over the cracks that maybe they're not going as well? 1-4 from five, but all those four wins have been at home. The Roosters get Tedesco back. I thought that they were gallant last week. Tristan's right, though. It is a step up in grade here, but they do play at home where their win record is outstanding. And I think that that's a big leg up for them. I've just got a really small lean to the Roosters. I could not touch the game. Only other angle I would have thought that it's a very strong defensive battle and points are probably thinly veiled and a lean to the unders.
Bloody unders. Anyway, all right, let's keep that's. I like the Roosters. I like the fact that they're coming home. I was impressed with that performance. I think it was better than a 2-point victory against the Knights. I think they are more impressive than that. I think they had so many players play well. It's so interesting. I think Trent Robinson's got this massive decision, and when his head hits the pillow at night, is Joey Manu a better fullback than James Tedesco right now? And that might be yes, but for the benefit of the team, Tedesco's there and Manu can play in that right centre position. Swalehi on a right wing was superb last week, completely different. And Keary, when he's running the side, when he takes control, is much more effective than when he's there with Sam Walker. He's a three-time premiership winning, including a Clive Churchill medalist. So, like, and off the back of his style of game, I think that brings Brandon Smith into the game with the up-tempo, quick play of the ball, and away you go. And Brandon Smith, I thought, was, you know, arguably his best game in Roosters colours last week. So that all points to me to be, you know, a positive. And for the Storm, yes, Nelson's back, probably short of a run. You wonder how much game time he's going to get. I know Hughes and Munster are there. I think Pappenhausen is slowly getting back, and I mean that with due respect. There's a couple of things last week where you're like, ooh, okay, you're a little bit off. And the fact they have to travel with a shorter turnaround, I'm going to go the Roosters at $1.92.
The other guy who I thought was unsung in that last result for the Roosters was Watson, Jimmy. I thought he did a really good job at six.
And what was he, Jared? He was just a running six,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
In fact, turn up wherever, Connor. You know, you're full of energy. Just turn up. The other guy I should have mentioned too was Angus Crichton.
Yeah.
On that left edge.
Crichton was super.
He was excellent for them. Poked his nose through just about every single time. All right, Dragons and the Warriors. This is 6 p.m. Wynn Stadium. So this is a very interesting clash. No Jack Bird. Zach Lomax into the centre. He's a centre now, Zach. Christian Tuipulotu into the wing, and Fayamanu Brown listed amongst the reserves. Wonder whether he comes straight back in. For the Warriors, Adam Pompey moves to the 18th man. Jazz Tavunga drops out. So that is their one change. Interesting match again, Tristan.
Yeah, very much so. And obviously the Warriors getting that draw last weekend and the Dragons getting a win. We see them sitting at 3-3, the Dragons, and we know they always lift coming back to Wollongong, but the Warriors are playing some really high-quality football and they're $1.45 favourites. The Dragons at $2.75. The line's 6.5 and it hasn't moved. It stayed solid at that 6.5 and 43.5 the total points. So Warriors favourite, but obviously the market respects the Dragons at Wollongong.
The Warriors have got a very poor record when they're travelling, especially into Sydney, as an away favourite, and especially at this position. Now, they did dust up South last start when they came to Sydney at Homebush, but clearly I think right now that's like beating your grandmother in an arm wrestle. It doesn't really rate that highly. They're still missing
that, Jared.
Five outs here, and four of those are all forwards, and I think two or three of those are quite key and instrumental to what they do. Very poor first half last week. Ended up getting a little bit of a leg up into the second half, came home, probably a touch lucky to end up in the Golden Point and then got a draw out of what could have been a loss at home. Dragons, you know, they're very difficult to catch. I got them last week out at Campbelltown, but, gee, this is different gravy stepping up from some of those recent games that they've had. But at this ground, they did get the Eagles going back three starts ago, and while their form here is not necessarily all that strong. Their form at the line here is very good. I thought 6.5 was a touch too high. I thought the Warriors probably get away with a win, but I think it might be hard fought, and I'm with the Warriors by probably 4.
Yeah, I thought the Dragons plus 6.5 was the way to look at this one. What are we going to get out of Zach Lomax now he's in the centre position? Like, more flick passes? And you go, well, they're working okay on the wing when he's throwing them infield as opposed to throwing them out of the field, which is what he happens to do when he plays in that centre position. I found that whole thing fascinating, the way it played out. He's gone to the Eels for 4 years for less money to play wherever the coach of the Eels plays him. So I don't think there's any doubt over the course of the first 6 weeks of this competition just how talented Zach Lomax is. But, oh, jeez, they just can't work it out there, which is a little bit unfortunate for them. And I was a little underwhelmed by the Warriors, which you don't say too often, right? That's, you know, with the level of consistency that Andrew Webster has brought to this side. And it'll be really interesting to see how blokes like Wade Egan, whose name now is starting to get bounced around quite seriously from a state of origin point of view, what sort of impact that might have on him. But I like the Dragons. I was impressed by their effort against the Tigers, albeit it was against the Tigers. But I'm going to go with them with the plus 6.5. Friday night game, Eels and the Dolphins. So this is a big one up there at, it's TIO Stadium in Darwin. So this is the game that the Eels take to the top end. Blaise Taulagi is back, probably on the bench. Kelma Tuilagi is out of the side, and Mike Asuva still playing New South Wales Cup despite the fact he got a couple of tries. Hamiso Tabuai-Fido is out. Trey Fuller comes in for his second NRL game. Max Plath back into the side. Ray Stone to the bench. Lachlan Hubner drops out after his NRL debut last week. And Sean O'Sullivan in on the bench for the suspended Anthony Milford. Interesting one. No Hammer, and it makes a huge difference, Tristan.
Yeah, it does. I thought that was a really good game of football, the first half, where the Dolphins took on the Broncos, and then Hammer went down and Brisbane just kicked away, and obviously Dolphins got a couple of late tries, but he shows that he's such an influential player in that side, and this has been the biggest move of the week in terms of the market, where the Eels have affirmed from 5.5 out to 7.5. It's $1.40 now, the Eels, $2.95 the Dolphins, 7.5 the line, 185 the minus, 195 the plus, and 44.5 the total points. So obviously the Eels go in there with confidence of over getting in front of the Cowboys there on the weekend, and Dolphins appear depleted on paper. They just seem to find a way to lift, though, the Dolphins. But I think I kept saying this last year. I was waiting for them to fall over with their, you know, with the supposed lack of depth, and they kept proving me wrong. So this is another one where it looks like that's the case on paper, but will they show a bit of resilience like they normally do?
And the trick is that it's, you know, clearly up in Darwin, where the Eels have actually lost their last two visits up here, and you'd probably expect points. But every year I look at this game, and with all the humidity up there, there are weeks where it actually makes it really difficult to hold the football and or get some continuity in attack combination. So not necessarily all that keen on the overs. And I found Parramatta last week back at home. I thought they were suited against the Cowboys going into Sydney, and my goodness, I thought they were ordinary, and you know, they hung on to one, and that was great. But gee, I don't know that they're playing all that well at the present moment, and some real worry back through the middle. And realistically, on their list, they're only missing Moses, and I know he's a key out, but you know, the rest of that list is there that should be playing far better than they are. Meet an opponent that's got 7 or 8 outs here, and so many of them key in. You know, the Hammer, Farnworth, Flegler. You know, Gilbert, Kafusi. I mean, it's a long list of key blokes that they'd love to have. But similar to you, Tristan, I mean, the key is that they're going to go up there. I wonder who thinks they're on a holiday and who thinks they're not. I think Bennett certainly will have them competitive. Eels to win, but I hate that line position.
Well, which way would you go on the line position, just out of interest?
I would take the plus, thank you, Mr. Smith.
Well, I was about to say I have a firm opinion on this. My firm opinion is the minus. So, yeah. So let's get into it. And the reasons is, no Hamiso Tabuai-Fido. I'm wondering, how do they get points? Where are the points going to come? And it pains me to say it, but I think it's an unders game as well, Jared. So if that's the case, then you start looking around and going, okay, well, what are the Eels got? Now, Gutherson, I said it on social media after watching him against the Cowboys, like, say what you like about Clint Gutherson. He has been busting his backside for the Eels for just shy of a decade every single play. And that's to be admired, the way he goes about it. Cartwright an important back in. I thought Dejanazi worked much better with Dylan Brown than they did with Taulagi. I think Taulagi's an NRL player. It's just he's just on a 5'8" at this stage of his career. Certainly not with Dylan Brown as the halfback. So I was much more bullish about the Eels going in for this one. So I would like to take the Eels at -7.5, please, Jared. And Floater, are you got any thoughts on this one?
I sort of tend to agree with Jared that this line's in a perfect position, and I'd probably like to. I think a great way to take the lead might be for you to knock off Jared, and I can sit there and sweep past on the slipstream. So I'm going to sit back and enjoy the.
Oh, here we go. He's got splinters now. He's close to the lead.
Yeah. Oh, Jerry Seinfeld. I choose.
Actually,
not
Jimmy,
to
I run. Thought you were also okay. right about Gutho. He was the difference between them winning and losing last week. And he gave a couple of key people a spray at the right time, as a captain should have, given what was unfolding on the field. He lifted a number of others. He had a couple of key turning point moments for himself. It was all about being a captain.
Yeah, and saving tries, and you just go, well, that just changes the game completely if you don't do that, if you don't make that effort. To be applauded.
Oh, Jimmy, I forgot one little stat while we're talking about the Eels.
Oh, here we go.
When they go interstate.
Yes.
Covered the line 4 of the last 14 times.
Oh, well, I'll go the plus then. No.
Tristan, did you want to jump in late?
I'm sensing a little bit of tension here, so I'm just going to sit back and just stir the pot a little bit just in the lead up to that game, I think.
No, unbelievable, Merlihan. Tell you what, I'm going to get up. As soon as we finish this podcast, I'm ringing Lloyd and letting him know what you're doing. See what he thinks of it.
You won't be able to get him on a Wednesday. He'll be too busy punting. He doesn't let a race go by.
There's this dead shit trying to call me anyway. All right, let's go to the Panthers and the West Tigers, Saturday, 3 o'clock. Carrington Park up there at Bathurst. They've been doing this for over a decade, have the Panthers. So Nathan Cleary still on the sideline. Brad Schneider there alongside Jerome Luai. Scotty Sorensen back. Luke Garner to the bench. Matt Eisenhuth out of the side. Lachlan Galvin, the hero, returns after 3 games. So he'll be back at 5'8". Brent Naden back into the side. Solomona Fartape is out. Bateman back. Alex Seyfarth to the bench. Samuela Fainu and Latu Fainu also returning on the bench. So that means Justin Matamua and Jake Simkin make way. Panthers, I reckon, was it last year? I think it was.
In the rain.
The Tigers had the win
in the rain
up at Carrington Park. Yeah.
I was very concerned because I was at a wedding and I thought, geez, I've had way too much to drink here if I'm reading this score line the way it is. And then it turned out to be true. So, no, it was definitely last year. The Tigers got the job done in a very wet conditions, and it's $1.17 Penrith, $5.10 the Tigers, 14.5 the line. It opened at 14.5. There has been a little bit of support for the Tigers at the plus, 185 the plus, 195 the minus, and then 41.5 the total points. So, yeah, the Tigers be disappointed with their effort against the Dragons at home. I think they would have genuinely thought they were a chance of getting the result there, and now they go on and take Penrith on a bye, which is going to be a very, very tough encounter. As you say, though, a couple of ins, so that'll strengthen their side. But, yeah, Penrith, very firm favourites at the moment. It'll be very, very hard to beat.
Well, the Tigers had lost 8 straight at Campbelltown, so let's now make that 9 after last week. Then when they go on the road, they've only won 4 of the last 27 times they've been on the road. I mean, it's a horrible record. Yes, they did win out here. I think the rain helped them enormously last year. But they have surprisingly won 3 of their last 7 against the Panthers. But I think a couple of those are either been in wet conditions or in the middle of origin. I think the Panthers, off losing before they had the bye, I will be very focused on this game, and I think they win. I don't think the line's enough.
Yeah, I don't think the line's enough either. Jeez, I was disappointed with the West Tigers. Everything to play for last week. There they are, sellout crowd at Campbelltown Sports Stadium. I reckon that was a worse performance than the Raiders, the game against the Raiders. They were sideways. They were sloppy. At one stage, and it was only early in the second half, Appy Coruscant got out of dummy half and looked, and there was no one was going to run the ball, and he had to then throw the dummy, duck the head and go through, and he had every right to turn around and give everyone a bake on that, because I thought that was a damning sign. They just got everything wrong, the West Tigers, last week. Really, really poor. That's not the type of form you need to be taking into a Panthers side who will be upset with last week, last year. They'll want to make sure that they go to their regional area in Bathurst, that they're better than that, and we know they are. remember, they're coming off a loss as well too, with the loss into the bye. So I'm expecting a big bounce back. -14.5, I'm big on that. Let's go to Saturday night. This will be a grudge match. This will be interesting. Desi up against the Seagulls. So the Titans and the Seagulls. This one up there at Cbus Super Stadium. So what might be key is, before I go either way, is who's leading the team out for the Titans. Jaden Campbell won't be in the team. Philip Sammy is back. AJ Brimson, I love him in the halves. So he's alongside Kieran Foran. Dave Fifita named in the start. So I will wait and see what Coach Hasler does with him. And for the Seagulls, we've got Matt Lodge back, Ruben Garrick, Nathan Brown back, Jason Sabi's back for the first game since round one over there in Las Vegas. But no Tofofoa Sipley. He just can't take a trick. He needs footy, that guy. And when he does play consistent footy, he's very good. Ben Trbojevic out with a hamstring injury as well. The battle of the Titans and the Seagulls. Tristan, first of all, before you tell us the market, any scoops about who's leading out the Titans team?
Yeah, unfortunately, the girls have been they've been given a few weeks in the sin bin after I think Charlotte needs to trial before she's allowed back out there on the pitch. And then Robin, obviously, her record's been disrupted. So she's a bit like Tim Zoo. She's got to go back through qualifiers a little bit. So we'll see if she gets a run with the Tweed Seagulls. So I'll keep everyone posted there. But the big concern is that actually Robin's got a big Irish dancing fesh on Saturday. So she's doubtful to even arrive at the game. She's trying to reorganise and put herself into a position to be able to leave early, but I'm not sure how successful she'll be. So we'll see how that one goes. That'll be a late move in the betting either way. But the Titans are $3.20. Manly's $1.35, and 8.5 is the line. So it opened 9.5 into 8.5, then a bit of money for Manly at that minus. 47.5 the total points. To me, that's the biggest number of the weekend. And if the Titans can defend like they did last week, and I think it's been fair to say they probably haven't scored as many points as they would have liked, it does seem a very, very big number in that case. So, yes, I'm quietly confident about the Titans. I think if they can defend like they did last week, I think AJ showed a lot in the in the halves last weekend. Obviously, the Jaden Campbell out is going to be a big loss because I thought they worked very, very well together. But showed a little bit of something, and hopefully at home, a bit of a rivalry game. Hopefully they can get the job done.
Jimmy, I believe they've cast a new trophy for this game.
Oh, yes.
The Litigation Cup.
Oh, nice, nice. So the Seagulls are currently having it, and you're suggesting the Titans might have it in years to come.
Yeah, I think there's special envelopes in there for whoever wins it. Right. It's either up or down. Listen, the Eagles on the road is the worry for me. I mean, yes, on paper they do look clearly the winner, but I just worry about coming off two very big lifts when, you know, they got the Panthers at home on that memorable day for DCE. Then they go over to New Zealand, now onto another leg away. Just thought the line was too big. And, you know, is Brown definitely back? Is Garrick definitely playing? They got Lodge coming in with no match fitness, but supposedly, you know, killing them on the training paddock. The other key question about the Titans at home, you know, 8.5 start. That's a big start for a team at home that has some advantage. Yes, they're off losing form, but how we just do not see getting into round 7 most years that we end up with a team that hasn't come up with a win. I don't know that they win here. They probably should have got that last week. But I do think back at home off two away legs where they went to Townsville, then they went down to Canberra. I think Brimson back at 6 is very important. I like Sammy at fullback. They do need a strong leader in the middle at the present moment, and certainly I think need a little bit more from David Fifita. But with the Eagles a win, but I just thought the plus start was just too big.
What about my man, Alifiana Camperera? Late introduced into the side and he gets a double. So thank you. Back on track now for my leading try scorer for the year. But 8.5, that's interesting. And it's a very pertinent point that you make there, Tristan, about they probably haven't scored as many points as they would have liked to have. But, mate, they've scored about half the number of the next least highest point scorer. So I think that's the understatement of the year. So that's their big issue. They've just got to defend their way to a victory and they get 8.5 points to do it. So that's where I'm looking at the moment. I think, you know, we spoke to, we spoke to the other day and we talked about AJ Brimson at 5'8", and he said, you just want your best players with the ball in their hand as much as possible. I'm like, makes a lot of sense. He's clearly that. I thought he was exceptional against the Canberra Raiders. So I like the Titans plus 8.5. It might be a first for this year, I think.
Not just that. What I took from that message was that you're declaring the unders.
Oh, no. I don't want to get anywhere near that. So that's when you start talk about when your head hits the pillow and you start questioning everything you're doing in your life and all of that sort of stuff. So
we might get Alex just to put a little clip together and you can play that just before you go to bed that the Titans haven't scored enough points. They'll defend their way to victory. I like the 8.5. To me, if you little simple maths, that equates to a very strong lean towards the others.
It's got 22. What is it? 22-16.
5:30 on a hot Gold Coast Saturday afternoon. It's got 58. Oh, it's got 58.
Well, you're going the overs,
hasn't it?
Oh.
Oh, Jimmy. Captain Unders is going the overs.
Hang on.
This could be a monumental moment in the history of Market Watch. Oh, I'm definitely happy to take the unders, Jared, if you want a lunch bet on that. And Jimmy. Oh.
Jared?
On the overs?
Yeah.
Yep. Count me in.
Jeez. I'll tell you what I won't do. Sit back and watch them run past and see how they go and all that. I'll ring Lloyd. I'll send him a text, though, and let him know, hey, I know Tristan's not in, but I'm in, Lloyd. So, yes, I'm with you, Tristan, the unders. I can't believe we've done it.
Wow.
Seriously?
Yep.
I can't believe that. You're begging me for sitting back and watching and gambling responsibly, and you're sitting there that I never, ever will take the unders, and then as soon as you get a little bit of fledging the other way, you're fold like a lemonade sandwich. So, no, good to have you on board, Jimmy. Well, this will be the first of many, I think.
I think in primary school my report card said easily distracted. So, yeah, there we go.
I'm still gobsmacked.
There's a first. All right.
Hit that pillow tonight, what you've done.
Oh, dear. Tracy won't be happy with me. Anyway, Broncos and the Raiders, 7:30 up there at Suncorp. So let's get into this one. Kevin Walters has still got no Adam Reynolds, still got no Payne Haas, but Jock Madden is going to be the halfback. So same 17 as took on the Dolphins. Zach Hosking, named but then out. Adam Mariotta and Simi Seisangi coming into the side. Chevy Stewart remains at fullback. James Schiller's been impressive on the wing, but be interesting to see what happens with Albert Hopewate when he comes back after a cooking accident. That's right, a cooking accident. What's the market on this, Tristan?
This one is $1.40, the Broncos, $2.95, the Raiders, 7.5 is the line, $1.85, the minus, $1.95, the plus, 44.5, the total points. So we've got the Bronco, the line's been pretty solid. The Broncos obviously firm favourite, and it'll be interesting to see if the Bronx wrestle the Raiders a little bit and try to hold them down a little bit longer in the play the ball area.
Hand on ball, I think it was.
Yeah, well, the Raiders are, you know, they're just such a yo-yo form, aren't they? You know, 2 weeks ago they put 41 points through the Eels. The week prior they lead by 8-0 and get run down by the Sharks. You know, consistency certainly not their middle name. But they do have a good record against the Broncos. They do have a good record when they're the underdog. But going into Brisbane right now, I like what the Broncos are doing at the moment. And clearly they're still without three very key players, notably Haas and Reynolds. But, you know, they've got points in them. And this is going to end up being a dry track on a Saturday night. Night games in Brisbane when there's no rain around. Even if there is rain around, they end up dragging points out of games. And if the Raiders get dragged into that and start to utilise their back five, they've got some speed and attack in them too. So I'm with the Broncos. I think they covered a line. And I think there's points in it. And a really interesting game. Should be a cracker, 7:30 Saturday night.
Very much looking forward to it. Yeah, the Broncos. I like the minus the 7.5 as well too. I just think they won that game 28-14 and they should have blown them off the park, I thought. So the Dolphins did well to hang in there. And that's not to say that the Canberra Raiders can't do it too, because some of the form they've showed at different stages this year, I think it's been excellent. And I agree with you, Jared. I think they've got some creativity out the back, and I like the look of Xavier Savage on the wing, and James Schiller has done some things where you're like, wow. Then he'll miss a tackle and someone will score a try. So, you know, like a bit of a mixed bag from that. And Matt Timocor is superb. He's very, very hard to tackle. But I just like all the threats that come with the Broncos. So they're a good side to watch, aren't they? I like watching the Broncos. So I'll go with them at the -7.5.
Very interesting watch on where Schiller might be next year.
Okay. Well, he is, I think it's Brett Mullen's sister's son.
let's say, highly sought after. And should he be moving, it'll be very interesting whether he plays many more games in first grade in the second half of this year.
I think he's got a cousin at the Knights, doesn't he, Jack Hetherington? So there we go. Speaking of, let's go to the Bulldogs and the Knights. This is 2 o'clock at Accor Stadium on Sunday, and we've got Connor Tracy still at the back. Blake Taff is on the bench. Curtis Moran's back from suspension. Jake Turpin out of the 17. Kitione Katonga is also out of the 17 on the back of that excellent performance from the Doggies down in Melbourne. The Knights unchanged. So Kalen Ponga had that hip pointer injury, so he is being named. Adam Elliott playing his 150th game. Still no Tyson Frizzell, so that hamstring injury, a bit more serious than anticipated. Where's your market on this one, Tristan?
This one's, again, very hard to split. The Bulldogs are $1.94. The Knights are $1.86. I think there's a little bit of speculation whether Kalen Ponga would be named on Tuesday, and he was, so there was a little bit of a push towards the Knights at that point. You know, he's still got to, I suppose, be under some doubt if he does line up, but at the moment he is named in the side. So very, very even betting, 41.5 the total points. I thought the Bulldogs were just fantastic, not just to come back and almost win, but just to hang in the game as long as they did, to keep the scoreline close, to give themselves a shot against the Storm, I thought was very impressive. And, I think the Knights will be very disappointed to lose that game at home on a big occasion on Thursday night. So very tight betting game. I think just at the moment, the way it stands, I think the Bulldogs, I'd probably have them slight favourites if I was setting it myself. But as usual, the traders overrule me.
Well, I actually agree with you, Tristan. I think you should have a little talking to a few people. Well, actually, you probably should give them some sort of encouragement because you're giving us a leg up here. I think the Bulldogs could well be 4 wins from 6 and very unlucky not to be. They should have come over the top late against the Rabbitohs. Just absolutely fantastic last week against the Storm. And I personally think, as I touched on earlier, their best offering that we've seen the last couple of years, really well coached. Their attitude was outstanding. Still got this problem scoring enough points, and that's the key here. I mean, they ended up with 14 and probably spilled a couple of tries last week, which was the difference between winning and losing against the Storm down in Melbourne. And that was against an 18-point line. They play here against the Knights at Accor, where the Knights just have had this very good record of winning 5 of the last 6, but away, I just don't like their form at the present moment, and they need to be absolutely sparked by Ponga catching on fire, as he did for moments last week, for them to be winning for mine. Question marks about whether he does play. They're going to miss Frizzell. I thought there were a couple of other blokes that looked a little bit battered and bruised last week. Most notably, they were really soft through the middle. I thought the Roosters absolutely carved them up down through the middle of the field. I'm with the Bulldogs. I think they win, and I thought the market was the other way for mine. I've got the Bulldogs small favourites, and I thought they could win by 4 to 6, possibly 8 points.
It's all Ponga, isn't it? Like the two, well, there were sort of three sides. There was the Newcastle Knights side prior to him getting injured. Then there was the Newcastle Knights side when he got injured. And then there was the Newcastle Knights side when he came back onto the field after getting that injection at halftime. And then he was back to the Kalen of old. So it's all about whether Kalen plays. No doubt the coach is keen for him to play. This is a game they won 66-0 last year. So, like, you think about the change of fortunes associated with that. I agree that the Doggies are playing really well. There's been no question on effort for any of their games this year. And indeed, the effort last week was extraordinary and probably deserved to win. And there's probably Storm fans out there that will disagree with me on that one. But, yeah, I thought they were excellent. For me, it's all about Ponga. Ponga plays, $1.86 I take. Ponga doesn't play, you won't probably get that price, but I'd be going the Dogs as well.
So you're with the with the Knights, are you, Jimmy?
If Ponga plays.
Okay. I'll take the Bulldogs if Ponga plays.
If Ponga plays. Okay. All right. So what are we doing? Our lunch bet.
We're not here for sandwiches. Right.
What are you doing,
Bulldogs,
Tristan?
What if Ponga doesn't play? Can we reevaluate things at that point?
Oh. Hey, look at you. Market manipulation at its finest, isn't it? Fair dinkum. What, do you want to go the 2-for-1 offer?
No. I've got 100% record of that, so I don't want to put that at stake. So we'll go the I'm very happy to go the Bulldogs.
All right, Ponga in, out. Yep. That's the key. Ponga in, out. Go, Kalen. Go, KP. Final game, Sharkies up against the Cowboys. This is down at Shark Park. So just looking at that, no Sione Katoa. Sam Stonestreet comes in for his NRL debut. Braden Hamlin-Ueli is back onto the bench for the first time this year. Semi Vallamai comes in for Murray Taulagi. He's got a hamstring injury. And Tom Chester retains his spot in the absence of Zach Labor. We better get through this one, boys.
Yeah, $1.65 the Sharks, $2.25 the Cowboys, 3.5 the line. It's been solid at that 3.5 number, 44.5 the total points. I think the Sharks are probably the most unimpressive 12-point winners for a while there against the Rabbitohs. Obviously, the Rabbits had a lot going against them. I think the Sharks would have liked to have won that game a bit more comfortably. And then the Cowboys, I'll be disappointed with their effort against Parramatta on the weekend. So both of these sides will be looking to bounce back. I just think at home, I think Cronulla, I think they're a pretty good side. I think they'll cover this line at 3.5 and get themselves back on track.
Yeah, the Sharks just look like a team that need the blinkers on and held up for the last 20 minutes, don't they? If they sort of get going early, they just don't put teams away like we would like to see them. But it does set up nicely for them. They came off the bye, won last week, back at home, covered the line twice at home. Their record here against the Cowboys is outstanding. The Cowboys, I touched on it last week, when they get on a plane and come into Sydney, the record now is only 6 wins of their last 27 starts, and they're back-to-back away doing that into Sydney, into Parramatta last week, into Cronulla this week. I'm with the Sharks. I thought they were probably one of the better bets of the weekend for mine at the minus 3.5.
I actually thought the Sharks' performance last week was pretty good because I wanted to give merit to the South Sydney performance because I thought their effort was exceptional. I don't think they're going to win the comp, but I thought it was a very solid effort. The Cowboys, they score some spectacular tries and they let as many in. So that's their biggest concern. So, yeah, I like the Sharks at the minus 3.5. What are your tips for this weekend, Jared? And you better give us your best bet.
Jimmy, the Roosters in a close one. The Warriors, the Eels, the Panthers, the Eagles just, the Broncos, the Bulldogs, the Sharks. I thought the Sharks at the minus 3.5 was probably the best line play for the week.
T?
Well, I was going to be very brave and take the Titans off the stick, but I'm going to be brave in a sense where I'm going to get the same dividend, but I'm going to throw a multi in. I'm going to take the Titans plus 8.5, and now that Jimmy has gone for his first ever unders lunch bet, I'm going to throw the unders in the same game multi. The Titans plus 8.5 into the under 47.5. I'm going to put my 100 on that at $3.10. I think that looks a very nice bet.
Anytime try scorer Alifiana Camperera, can you throw that in? See what's that turn it into?
I don't know if the Titans win 2-0, then that might not be eligible, Jimmy.
I've got Chris on the phone. He's saying, can you just get Tristan just to put the 100 straight into the bank account?
No. 850 if you throw Loffy into that multi, Jimmy. So, yes.
Whoa. There we go. Jared, I reckon this might be the first time in a long time that we've done this. My best bet is the Sharks minus 3.5. That's into the $1.85. The fact that Tristan liked it as well really concerns me. So we're all three of us in furious agreement there. So my best bet, Sharks minus 3.5 at $1.85. Right, racing this weekend, gentlemen. Where are you taking us, Jared?
We are at the championships week 3. Again, some cracking races. Listen, I thought later in the day, race 8 at Randwick, Sunshine in Paris. I love this mare. She is just a very, very talented horse. Looks a nice price in a pretty even race for mine. So my bet was Randwick, race 8, number 10, Sunshine in Paris. Just missed first up. Gets a chance here. 100 on the nose, second up for me. Thank you.
There we go. Well, it's a good day of racing, and it's obviously finishes off the autumn carnival there in Sydney. I'm going to take us over the Nullarbor, though, and go to Ascot, where we've got the $5 million Quokka as the headliner on Saturday. And that's race 8 there. And obviously, Amelia's Jewels, the red-hot favourite, $3.40 into $3. But I'm going to go for number 10, Willie Pike in the saddle, Oscar's Fortune. It's been back from $8 into $5.50. It's got in very impressive form, very impressive last start. I'm going to go my 100 on the nose. That's race 8, number 10, Oscar's Fortune in Ascot.
All right. I'm going to head back across the Nullarbor after that one. I'm going to go to race 4 at Randwick. Number 1, Tannhauser. So I got the inside mile from Tracy from Cordor. Flying Prep gets the barrier, gets a little bit longer. Last two runs have been outstanding. Now, any indications of what the price might be? Because that comes down to the all-important staking plan, Tristan.
The Tannhauser, was that the one, Jimmy?
Yeah, number one.
Yeah, race $3. Four. J-Mac in the saddle looks like it's going to open up at.
J-Mac for CJ Waller. What's the price, place?
$3. Or do you want to take your chance of the top fluctuation? You got a good record at picking which way to go there.
Give me the top fluck at $100, thank you.
$100 top fluck on Tannhauser. And I see this one going $3 into $1.90.
And getting beat.
Oh, dear. All right, lads. Very enjoyable. Never been so keen on defence as I have been with the Titans and the Seagulls. So there we go. Right, come on, Desi. Get them tackling during the week, Desi. Get them tackling.
If this ends up the overs, I'm going to get that audio snipped and that's going to be on the front of the podcast for the next couple of months.
Reading the Play is Australia's favourite source of NRL and horse racing tips. Our professional analysts provide the sporting enthusiast with the best of the best. Get the best professional tips and previews from our tipsters direct to your phone. Readingtheplay.com.